Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up, good people? Yes, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this TGIF Friday. Man, I can't believe it's Friday. Time flies when you're having fun, and we certainly have been having a lot of it here on the show throughout the week. Today, yes, we'll talk about it, the NBA draft, as a few former Spartans and former Wolverines made their NBA dreams come true last night. You get to hear Tom Izzo's thoughts on the whole NBA draft fiasco. We'll also talk about the USA advancing in the World Cup as I sit down with our World Cup expert, if you will, Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. And yes, it's Friday, Reflection Friday, as we reflect on the biggest stories of the week. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on the show, first, here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
I'm Matthew Ludke, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for Friday, June 27th. In last night's NBA draft, Michigan's Nick Stauskas became their second consecutive lottery pick when the Sacramento Kings took him 8th overall. Former Michigan State forward Adrian Payne went 15th to the Atlanta Hawks, becoming the highest drafted former Spartan since Jason Richardson went number 5 in 2001. Former MSU teammate Gary Harris was picked 19th by Chicago, though his rights were traded to the Denver Nuggets. Mitch McGarry went 21st to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Glenn Robinson III went to Minnesota with the 40th pick. Former Michigan forward Jordan Morgan told reporters he is joining the Timberwolves as an undrafted free agent and will be with the team in the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. Keeping things in the NBA draft, the Pistons took Spencer Dinwiddie out of Colorado with the 38th overall pick. Dinwiddie's junior season at Colorado was cut short when he tore his left ACL in January, and he contemplated not entering the draft. But his rehab went so well that he declared himself eligible and slid to the Pistons, who had the 8th pick in the second round. In the most touching moment of the NBA draft, Commissioner Adam Silver selected Isaiah Austin on behalf of the league just days after the Baylor center was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, a career-ending genetic disorder. Silver made the announcement midway through the first round, stopping the proceedings to acknowledge Austin and welcome him to the Barclays Center stage as the crowd gave him a standing ovation. The 7'1" Austin was projected as a second-round pick in last night's draft. The Detroit Tigers are now owners of an 8-game winning streak thanks to Rick Porcello's 10th win of the year. Porcello threw a 3-hit shutout and Miguel Cabrera added 4 hits as the Tigers took Game 3 in Texas 6-0. Detroit will stay in the Lone Star State for a 3-game set with the Astros. The NHL draft kicks off tonight at 7 p.m. in Philadelphia. The Florida Panthers have the top pick, but with no clear consensus on who the top prospect is, that might not be a good thing. The Detroit Red Wings own the 15th pick in the first round. Coverage starts at 7 on NBC Sports Network. And it was an up-and-down day for the U.S. men's national team in Brazil. While the Yanks fell to Germany 1-0 thanks to Thomas Müller's 4th goal of the tournament, they ultimately advanced to the knockout stage thanks to Portugal's 2-1 defeat of Ghana. The U.S. are set to play Belgium on July 1st. Uruguay's Luis Suarez got hit with a hammer yesterday. He was banned from 9 Uruguay matches and 4 months from any soccer activity, including early season games for his club, Liverpool. In addition, he was fined $112,000. It's the third time he served a suspension for biting an opponent after similar incidents at both the Dutch League and Liverpool or the English Premier League. Coming back from a back injury, Tiger Woods hit a 3-over par 74 in the first round of the Quicken Loans National at Congressional Country Club. Woods said, quote, "The back's great. I had no issues at all. No twinges, no nothing. It felt fantastic," end quote. Woods trails leader Greg Chalmers by 8 strokes. And finally, at Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer both move on in straight sets. Andy Murray has a match against number 27-ranked Roberto Bautista at 12:30. On the women's side, number 2-ranked Li Na was ousted by unranked Barbara Zalavova-Strykova, and Maria Sharapova moves on after winning in straight sets. We will have Wimbledon updates throughout today's show. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for Friday, June 27th. We'll now send it back to Al to start the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate that. Again, those were your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are now open. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we discuss, chat, and talk about today, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Also have to give a shout out to all of you who have been calling throughout the week on the One Goal, One Passion, Mateen Cleaves basketball camp that will be taking place at the end of this week. We opened up an initiative and we partnered with One Goal, One Passion to whoever called in. The first five callers to call in about the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp will get their child, son, daughter, niece, nephew, cousin signed up for free. So congrats to those five those lucky five who called in and got that outstanding opportunity for their little one to be a part of that One Goal, One Passion basketball camp. It's going to be a great camp. Again, you get one-on-one basketball instruction from some of the best to ever do it. Mateen Cleaves, of course, former hoop great. He has a plethora of other Flintstones who will be joining him along with others from that 2000 National Basketball Championship team for MSU. And, it's a cool camp because you not only learn just the fundamentals of the game, you learn life skills as well, responsibility, cleaning up your room, doing your chores, things like that. It's a great camp that is designed to build your game on the court and off of it. Congrats to those five who called in. Man, oh man, am I excited about today's show. The NBA draft took place last night. We have a ton to talk about there as former Spartans of Adrian Payne and Gary Harris, they made their NBA dreams come true. And how about those in Ann Arbor as well for Michigan? Nick Stauskas, man, he was the highest local college basketball player to be drafted in the draft. Mitch McGarry also made his dreams come true. Glenn Robinson III, and Jordan Morgan will be playing on the D League with Minnesota. So we'll talk about all of that and so much more as you heard in our current sports quick hit headliners. You also get to hear from Tom Izzo. Yes, Tom Izzo, he addressed the media right after the NBA draft via teleconference. I called in and, I talked to Tom about his thoughts and whatnot on the NBA draft and, what it means now for Adrian Payne, who now goes to Atlanta with Grand Ledge native Al Horford. And don't forget, Steve Smith works down there as he's an analyst, basketball analyst for Turner Sports. So it's a pretty good environment for AP. And how about, Gary Harris being drafted? He was drafted by the Chicago Bulls, but a trade sent him to the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk about what that move means for him. And also, another Spartan who was not mentioned in our current sports quick hit headliners, Keith Appling. Keith Appling, it looks as though he will be playing in the Summer League for the Portland Trail Blazers. So he will be in the Summer League with the Portland Trail Blazers, fine-tuning his game. Hopefully he can get a solidified spot somewhere in the NBA itself. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully the Summer League goes well for him. But we'll talk about all of that and so much more. And before we do, how about this, though? I just heard this news. Literally, when those current sports quickie headliners were going on, I was checking my social media, tweeting about the show, and I scroll on Facebook and see that one of my favorite artists from back in the day, Eminem. How about Eminem? Remember Slim Shady? He caused a lot of controversy with, back in the day with his lyrics and his antics. But he's one of the best MCs, best rappers of all time. I was a huge fan of his back in high school. But this is a pretty cool story because his daughter, Haley Scott, will be attending Michigan State University in the fall. My goodness, she's going to need like bodyguards walking around campus for her, man. To be Slim Shady's daughter and you're going to a university like Michigan State. Oh, that's too cool. It's too cool, man. And she's the firstborn child of Eminem. And, she had a very good high school academic career. She graduated summa cum laude and was a member of the National Honor Society back in high school. But she's attended Michigan State University. How cool is that story? My goodness, folks. And you know what? My favorite moment, now, shifting back to sports here, my favorite moment in last night's draft. You know, it was all fine and dandy to see the Spartans and Wolverines, the various Spartans and Wolverines get drafted and walk across that stage to shake the hand of NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And I tell you what, Adam Silver is constantly gaining more and more brownie points for me and everyone around the sports world due to things like this. And what I'm talking about is if you happen to watch the NBA draft last night, and Matt talked about it in our current sports quick hit headliners, Isaiah Austin, his story is so compelling. And he's a player from Baylor who even had a workout with the Detroit Pistons, but he was a player from Baylor. He's a 7'1" center. He was projected as a second round pick in this year's NBA draft. But, you know, he could not walk across the stage because he was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, ending his career, his basketball career as we know it. It's a career-ending genetic disorder that he was born with, and really sad stuff because Isaiah, you know, and he's actually half blind in one eye. He had a great career at Baylor and, again, was projected to walk across that stage and make his NBA dreams come true. But in a classy, classy way, this is what Adam Silver did.
Before we continue tonight, I want to take a moment to recognize Baylor center Isaiah Austin. You may have heard about Isaiah. He is one of the nation's best collegiate players and was expected to be picked tonight before the discovery just a few days ago that he had a genetic disorder called Marfan syndrome and is no longer able to play competitive basketball. Like the other young men here tonight, Isaiah committed himself through endless hard work and dedication to a potential career as a professional basketball player, and we wanted to make sure he fulfilled at least this part of his dream. So it gives me great pleasure to say that with the next pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the NBA selects Isaiah Austin from Baylor University.
How cool is that? A tear-jerking moment. You could see Isaiah as he stood up, and you could hear the various hand claps and standing ovations in that bite from everyone that attended the NBA draft. And, you know, it was so touching watching Isaiah Austin approach the stage, tears in his eyes. He grabbed a baseball cap that had the generic NBA symbol on it. And, you know, he's wiping tears from his eyes, and then Adam Silver makes that announcement, and he goes up there. And at least, you know, that just a really cool moment that he at least got to walk across that stage and hear his name called at the NBA draft. A classy, classy move by the NBA. Something I will never forget. I was on Twitter at the same time tweeting my guts out as the NBA draft was taking place. And you could hear, I saw from various tweets, people out there that saw that moment, you know, tweeting things like, you know, I'm tearing up at this moment. You know, what a great gesture from Adam Silver, and so on and so forth. Just raining praises down for the unbelievable gesture that the NBA did with Isaiah Austin. Again, he was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, ending his career. It's a genetic disorder that he was born with. He was projected to go last night and walk across that stage, but that disorder, you know, hindered him from doing so. But the NBA, in a very, very classy move, made sure he at least got to fulfill that portion of his NBA dreams. Hats off to Adam Silver. He quickly is becoming my favorite commissioner in the world of sports. All right, folks. Well, I tell you what, amidst the NBA fiasco that was in the NBA draft last night, there was also a pretty big event that took place earlier that day, actually during our current sports radio show. Now, it was a 12:30 kickoff for the USA versus Germany game, which that game, along with the decision that, you know, ensued with the Portugal and Ghana matchup, That game going on would possibly send the USA into the round of 16. And as you just heard in our quick hit headliners, it did so. The USA, even though they lost to Germany, falling 1-0 in that game, Portugal ended up topping Ghana, thus propelling the U.S. of A. into that single game elimination round of 16. How about that? Hats off to the USA, even though they didn't get the win. Again, later on in the show, we'll be talking with Brooks Lambeer, who is the MSU men's and women's soccer reporter for Impact Sports. He also covers Lansing United, Lansing's newest minor league soccer team. But before we do get to that, we bring a segment to you that we've been doing week in and week out, a segment that I'm always excited about because he was one of my mentors while in college, such an incredible motivational speaker. His speaking is certainly picking up a lot of headway, and people are starting to really recognize his name. His name is DeAndre Carter. He is a motivational speaker located right here on the campus of Michigan State University. He is also a huge, huge sports nut. So we decided to combine the two in a segment that we like to call Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. Now, on this show today and on this week's Motivational Moment, DeAndre is talking about what everybody's talking about. Yes, the World Cup. And DeAndre had, a nice little spin on this week's Motivational Moment as he lists, the World Cup name and goes from WORLDCUP and gives, those acronyms as to the passion that ensues in soccer when the World Cup comes around. I'll let DeAndre explain and I'll let him take it away. Here is this week's Motivational Moment with DeAndre Carter.
It's time for your motivational moment with DeAndre Carter on Current Sports with Al Martin. This is where we give you a sports moment with a motivational twist. Get ready to be inspired.
This is a motivational moment with DeAndre Carter.
Using the word World Cup as our guide, let's be inspired from the FIFA World Cup. W, world-class dedication. That is what these athletes have given to be on that field in this moment. World-class dedication, even from the fans. World-class dedication. Oh my God, look at these original celebrations. When the ball hits the back of the net, the creativity goes through the roof. The slide, the team dances. I love it. R, the raw emotion. You saw the star, Neymar from Brazil, crying at the sound of his national anthem. The same thing happened for a midfielder for the Ivory Coast. Just the sound of the music and representing their home country brought tears to their eyes. L, limit your mistakes. That's what we learned in our last match. The little things do matter. D, drama. 31 days in the middle of the summer will determine who is the best in the world. Every match, every kick, every second matters. And not only that, the whole world is watching. C, culture. You see, what's awesome is that you have people from all over the earth, all over the globe, coming together, all eyes on one spot. And yet we are still speaking one language, and that is victory. You, unique and crazy announcer calls. If you don't believe me, just watch. Well, actually, just listen.
In the back of the way, now then, here's Neymar. Didn't quite get hold of it.
That is a perfect segue into the last one, which is P, for passion and pride. And that's what Team USA is playing with even as you listen to this message. Let's root them on. Our theme song will take us home.
I believe that we will win.
All right, Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. Man, he is pretty pumped about the World Cup. I think everybody and their mama is. I tell you what, everybody's talking about it. Again, Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter, where we bring you a motivational moment with a sports twist from motivational speaker DeAndre Carter. If you want to nominate a moment, that moment was actually nominated by one of you who went on our Facebook page and said, hey, I'm really enjoying the Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter, and hey, I want him to talk about the World Cup. So DeAndre said, okay, and went to the booth and produced that great segment. Thanks a lot, DC. Oh, man, you can find him on Instagram at DC Inspires. He's also on Facebook, and he has a book coming out, which we'll talk about next week as well. He's doing a lot of things. Thanks a lot, DC, for that. Well, sticking with the World Cup fiasco, our World Cup expert, we've adopted him here on Current Sports as our World Cup expert, talking everything World Cup, Brooks Lambeer, who is the MSU men's and women's soccer reporter and also covers Lansing United right here in the area. Lansing United, of course, Lansing's minor league soccer team. He does it all for Impact Sports. Brooks Lambeer, welcome to the show once again. How you doing, Brooks?
Good. How are you doing now?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I tell you what, I wasn't doing great yesterday, looking at what happened in that match, USA versus Germany. But hey, thank goodness for Portugal, right? Yeah. I got to ask you, you know, Brooks, looking at these past two games. Now, again, I want to preface this with, of course, this is the group of death. This is what everybody dubbed as the group of death. And for the US of A to come out of it, that's saying a lot. Now, before this match against Germany, they had the 1-1 draw, well, 2-2 draw, I think it was, with Portugal. Mm-hmm. And then they go on to play Germany and lose. Not many USA fans looking at those two results are pretty confident now going on to Belgium. Should they be panicking right now at all?
This U.S. team has played Belgium before. They played them in a friendly in the fall of last year. They know what they're up against. Tim Howard plays at Everton with Kevin Morales, and he plays in the EPL with a lot of other players. And Clint Dempsey's playing the EPL with a lot of the other guys on the Belgium team as well. So I think that they know what they're up against, and Jurgen Klinsmann knows what he's up against. He knows the caliber of players Belgium has. He knows the style they can play. He knows they're going to be controlling the midfield. They score goals late. Every goal they've scored has been 70-plus minutes later in the game. Mm-hmm. So he knows they need to defend well, and they need to bring the game in the midfield. They need to control the ball.
For you, Brooks, looking at these past three games for the U.S. of A in the World Cup so far, what are the flaws on this team? If there's any points of worry for you, what are they?
It's the midfield and defense.
Defense, definitely. I want to harp on that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the defense. There are times when they look fine, but there's unsettling times. If you're going to do what the U.S. is going to do by pushing your outside backs forward, someone they have to track back after they go forward, or someone has to fill in for them in the midfield. Mm-hmm. And that's been the disappointing part. I know that some when I was watching the analysis of, you know, the Portugal game, they said Fabian Johnson on the one goal that was scored by, I think it was maybe the Ronaldo one, the last one.
Right.
He didn't track back and defend. And, you know, in that moment, you have to realize as a soccer player, and it's like for any sports, you have to realize when is it the right time to just sit and defend, and you have to manage your minutes, as Coach Damon Rensing would say, or any other soccer coach would say. Soccer is managing your minutes, knowing when to do something and when to not do something. So mm-hmm. I'd say defense would be the biggest thing they have to worry about.
Does that come down to just laziness sometimes for the U.S. of A?
It's tired legs, really. You don't think about, you think like, yeah, 90 minutes, we have 4 days to rest. We're all good, you know, for the next game in 4 days. And when you're running on a field that's bigger than a football field, length and width-wise, mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't realize how much of a distance you're running. That's why if you've ever done a beep test, that's very, very similar to what a soccer game would be like, where you're not running far, but it gets quicker and quicker as the test goes, and then your legs go first. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these guys train to prepare themselves with their cardio for the game. But no, mm-hmm. you're running a distance, and it's really just legs. Your legs go first. You're tired. You're sore, and you know that just kind of what happens in a game. It's not so much laziness as just tiredness, I think.
Brooke, looking at these last two matches, again, the tie with Portugal and the loss to Germany yesterday, after, you know, there were a lot of people raining down praises on this USA team after they beat Ghana. I mean, they get that quick goal, the sixth fastest goal in World Cup history, 30 seconds into the match. Yeah. And, you know, they get that win and everybody's hopping on the bandwagon like, okay, this USA team can make some noise. Mm-hmm. With the tie now to Portugal and the loss to Germany, those praises have kind of dwindled down just a little bit from what I've been hearing on, you know, reading blogs a little bit and going on Twitter and reading, you know, different articles. Was it an overhyped win over Ghana, do you think?
I think it is because that was the first time we had beaten them in a World Cup. Or the U.S. has beaten them in a World Cup.
Right.
So I think it was overhyped. It was something that, you know, a lot of people thought, hey, we beat Ghana, so we can beat Portugal, and then or the USA can beat Portugal, and then the U.S., you know, all they have to do is, like I said, draw or lose to Germany. And they may be disappointed, the fans may be disappointed with the game against Portugal, but really, like I've said a lot of times here, it's the game of soccer, that's how soccer's played. When you get to this next round of 16, you're going to see a whole different type of strategy, tactical arrangements for the defense and offense, because it's a win-or-go-home situation. You're not playing to get through the group anymore, you're playing... This could be your last game, so you're going to see a whole lot of different games in this next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Brooks Lambeer, who is the MSU men's and women's soccer reporter and who also covers Lansing United for Impact Sports. For you now, Brooks, you know, right now, you know, looking at, again, the group of death is what the U.S. has come out now, and, you know, they'll be playing Belgium on Tuesday. It's got to be pretty good, though, for this team to be battle-tested to come out of a group like that, though, right?
Yeah, you always want to... That's why leading up to the World Cup, you play good teams in friendlies to prepare yourself for this. And then you have the group of death, good team in Germany, very good team in Ghana and Portugal. And it's great preparation for Belgium. Like I said, we played Belgium last fall. We lost, I believe it was 4-3 we lost. But Belgium was a different team back then. They had Christian Benteke, who just got injured this past EPL season on his club team with Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. But they still have a good team, though, Belgium, even though they lost Benteke, their forward, one of their top scorers. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think they have this group of death, and the friendlies they've played have prepared them for this knockout stage.
You know what, Brooks? As you know, since the last time we talked, we do a lot of predictions here on the show. Predictions can make you look like a genius, or it can make you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I've been on the idiotic side many, many times. Let's not go down that road, though. But for you, looking at US of A playing Belgium this Tuesday, what do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction on it?
I'm going to say that the USA... I'm going to say that they're...
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to say they draw for 90 minutes... And then it's going to go extra time.
And it goes two overtimes now,
it
right?
Does two 15-minute period overtimes.
And then penalty shootout.
Yeah. That's a long shot prediction. I think it'll be 0-0 into extra time, and someone's going to win an extra time because both teams have been training so hard. Like I said, Belgium scores a lot of late goals, but you know, the U.S., they've worked their butts off. They know what they need to do. Jurgen Klinsmann's a very smart coach, so we'll see what happens with them. But I think 0-0 draw, and then I'm guessing Belgium gets a late winner.
Gotcha. So you think the USA will be eliminated?
Yeah, Belgium's
on
my
Tuesday.
Dark horse. Belgium is my dark horse team I've picked through this tournament. So
wow. So yeah. this game holds a lot of weight here against a very, very good team with Belgium. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So okay, you heard it first from the man himself. Brooks Lambeer thinks that USA will be done and the World Cup dreams will be crushed after Tuesday's match against Belgium. Interesting stuff. And that was my next question, to see how far this team you thought will go. That'll be it right there. Now, I want to ask you about this. We talked about this before the show. Mm-hmm. I see him all the times on the sideline, but I don't know much about him. The head coach for Team USA, Jurgen Klinsmann. What can you tell us about Jurgen for those who don't know, Brooks?
Well, okay.
Like me.
Yeah, it's a little silent of a J, Jurgen Klinsmann. That's okay.
Jurgen Klinsmann. Yeah, see that? Yes. I'm still learning the lingo here, too.
It's all right.
Thank you. I mess up names all the time, so.
It's okay. Jurgen Klinsmann, great player for West Germany back in the day. I think he scored like 35-plus goals for them in all his international appearances. Won a World Cup with them in 1990 when they beat Argentina 1-0 in the final. Mm-hmm. And that was in Rome that took place in. as a coach, if you've watched the ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries they've done leading up to the World Cup, expects a lot out of his players. And I think that's what you want. And he's totally changed the way the U.S. team and system kind of is run a little bit.
In what way?
I sense very much more conditioning, and I sense a lot very more structure and tactical, where, like I said, we're not playing so much from direct soccer from the back to the front. We're trying to play the back to the middle to the front, passing the ball through there. And as you can see, the players he's chosen, they're a little younger, not as many veterans on the team. So he's changing the youth structure in the U.S. Soccer Academy a little differently.
And as far as leadership goes, is he an in-your-face type of guy? Is he more laid back, chill, and kind of lets things play out?
In the documentaries, he seemed like a very in-your-face guy. He wants things right, and he wants them done right, and he wants them done correctly. And he expects that every time you go out into a practice, give 100%. If you're not going to give 100%, just leave.
Gotcha. Interesting stuff. So, you know, Brooks, with your prediction, you think that Belgium is going to top them top the U.S. of A on Tuesday. With that outcome, possibly, if that does happen, do you think you will see a decline in interest in the World Cup right here in America? And will it be instant?
We have such a big diversity in America. Mm-hmm. I think for some people, yes, but I couldn't tell you exactly.
I know you won't. You're a hockey fan. That's why we have you on the show. I mean, you're a hockey freak. But
yeah, I'm a soccer freak, and I love soccer no matter what. But it shouldn't. People shouldn't stop watching it just because the USA lost.
Right.
But it's going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So yeah. You think it will? You think soccer will take a little dive in the World Cup?
A little bit.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you know, but we talked about this last night on Current Sports TV. Again, I sat down with Charlie Bell, who is a former MSU hoop great. And, before I get to my interview, I always do the sportscast for 5 minutes. And in my sportscast, I had to talk about it because everybody seemed to be chatting about it. Luis Suarez and his chomp. I just couldn't believe that this was his third time being involved in a biting incident on the field. He got a 9-game ban. Did you agree with it? Because I thought it was too soft.
No, I think I think that's fine.
You do think it's fine?
Because this is the first time he's done that in international play. The other time, it's been with his club teams, with Ajax, the first time that happened, and then the other one was with Liverpool 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of this EPL season last fall, he had served it was a 4 or 5 game suspension. He couldn't play the first 4 or 5 games. It may have been a little longer than that. But
Brooks, if he keeps doing this, I mean, this is his third time just doing it. I don't care where he does it. He's done this 3 times in general. I don't care if he's on the playground and done this. Yeah. It's still on his record. Don't you think that, you know, these bands obviously aren't sending a message to him? Maybe needs to be harsher?
I mean, he's got he's suspended for 9 international games, and he's also suspended for 4 months of the club season, if you did not know that as well. So I think that is enough. I think they should require him to go to some type of therapy.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
The sad part is he says he doesn't want to do this again. He's got 2 kids, he's got a wife, and
biting people.
Yeah, and how do you feel if you're his sons and he's doing this and he's saying, I'm going to stop? You know, he needs help.
He definitely, any time a human being bites another human being, not once, not twice, but 3 times, the brother needs some help. He's got some mental issues. All right, well, there you have it, MSU men's and women's soccer reporter, as well as a reporter for Lansing United, Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. Brooks, we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about a USA win.
I'm hoping.
We're hoping, all right?
We're hoping.
All right, let's hit the break. When we come back, yes, the NBA draft. We have a lot to talk about there. As well as Reflection Friday and so much more. Do not touch that dial. Hey, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports on this Funky Friday. How about that? We got some funky music, playing some funky music, courtesy of Alex Sharg. And Matt, we got to give a shout out to Alex because it is the man's birthday today.
It is.
Happy birthday, Alex. I would sing, but I'm a terrible singer. But happy birthday, man.
Thanks, man. I want for my birthday this year, I think I want some props on some Tigers picks. No panic button today, please.
You don't want that. You don't want my panic meter for your birthday today. I won't even bring it up. I won't even bring my panic meter up. And the Tigers are rolling right now. That's another story, though. And Matt, you know, I'm kind of salty right now because I missed your birthday on the show. And you had like a 007 private eye.
Just covert ops
birthday. I did not know until after the show. Alex like, yeah, it was Matt's birthday. I'm like, what?
Just sneak through.
You gotta be kidding me.
I tell you.
I'm not letting that happen again, okay? Just warning you.
Okay.
And I wanted to play.
We'll see.
I wanted to play a prank on Alex today with it being his birthday. And I was kind of, you know, I was crammed this morning getting things ready for today's show. And I wanted to play his It's Raining Men song from back in the day. That would have been so fitting to play. I could not find it, though.
Sorry,
I
was, no one's missing it.
Yeah,
no
really I miss it, though, man. That was the funniest rendition of our Pick'em Consequences when we used to do it, you know, when you had to sing live on the air. That was the funniest one we've ever done. So, good stuff. All right, well, we have a lot to talk about, folks. The NBA draft, and how about the plethora of Wolverines and Spartans who were taken and who walked across that stage and shook the hand of Adam Silver. As Matt talked about in our current sports quick hit headliners, Nick Stauskas, he went number 8 overall to the Sacramento Kings. He now joins Trey Burke, and you know, who's a great pick, and he was number 9 overall as Michigan's. This is Michigan's second consecutive lottery pick, so he joins Trey Burke in that regard. Adrian Payne, he was selected number 15 overall to the Atlanta Hawks. Gary Harris, 19th overall. He was drafted by Chicago, but they made a trade. He will be playing for the Denver Nuggets. Mitch McGarry, how about Mitch? He was also drafted in the first round, 21st overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Glenn Robinson III from Michigan. He was selected 40th, that's the second round, by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And how about former Michigan forward Jordan Morgan? He is joining the Minnesota Timberwolves as an undrafted free agent and will be with the team in the Summer League in Las Vegas. And one more Spartan I have to note here. Keith Appling will be playing in the Summer League for the Portland Trailblazers. That was released not too long ago. So it's good to see Appling at least getting a shot. Hopefully he can make a roster. So, it was a fun night. You know, I talked about, Matt, to start the show, my favorite moment of the night. You know, it was great to see the various Spartans and Wolverines go up there and get drafted and so on and so forth. And we'll dive into it in just a sec. You know, any surprises of the draft and talk about, you know, the Spartans and Wolverines who were drafted. But the coolest moment for me, of course, had to be Isaiah Austin. What a classy move by Adam Silver to, you know, a kid who was projected to be drafted at least in the second round last night before being diagnosed with the Marfan syndrome, which, you know, it's a genetic disorder that ended his basketball career. You know, Adam Silver just became my favorite commissioner in all of sports for that move right there. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, he was, you know, when he went out there to the podium, he was, you know, people cheered him and everything. A lot of that has to do with, I think, the way he handled the whole Donald Sterling situation. But this just adds to his resume. He's done more in the past month or two as commissioner of the NBA than many commissioners have done in a lifetime. You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Definitely good moves from a PR perspective.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
He's making all the right plays right now. And I have to agree, that was easily the most memorable moment. You know, it came right after Adrian Payne got picked. They had a nice little feature on him and Princess Lacey.
Love that one, yeah.
They follow that up. So in case the waterworks weren't already going,
yep,
they have the Isaiah Austin selection right after that. It was just a touching moment. You don't normally, you know, get sentimental and a little teary-eyed in a draft.
You got teary-eyed?
Other than if you're happy for the players, but that was emotional.
It was emotional.
It really was.
Did you cry, Matt?
I didn't cry, but they were welling up.
I had the lump in my throat.
To be in that situation, to work that hard, mm-hmm, get to that level where you are a prospective draft pick, that's your life's dream. You get 4 days away, mm-hmm, and it's taken away from you.
Right, right.
I mean, that's heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking, yeah. I agree. And, you know, it was great to see him up there. And, you know, he couldn't hold back the tears. I mean, you know, he got a standing ovation from just about everybody in the room who attended the NBA draft last night. It was a touching, touching moment. Easily my favorite.
And it seemed genuine on both sides.
It did.
Silver was happy to do it and happy to bring him up. And Austin was happy to do it and happy to go up and happy to live that part of his dream. Because normally when you have stuff like that, mm-hmm, it seems a little contrived.
A little corny, too.
A little corny. Right. But this was perfect.
It was perfect.
It was. And this guy has a whole career ahead of him of motivational speaking, struggles that he went through. I mean, how many people are just like Isaiah. Not many people are like this guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he has a lot to say to youth about fighting for something and having it taken away from you and how he's overcame that and having a positive mindset moving forward. I mean, I don't know about you, Al. I mean, you have many friends that are motivational speakers. This guy is a guy I want to talk to.
Yeah, he's great. He's definitely an inspirational. He has an inspirational story, to say the least. And you know what? With him being drafted, quote-unquote, by the NBA, I really think that the NBA is going to do something where he can be involved with the league in some way, shape, or form.
They'll take care of him for sure.
Yeah, they'll take care of him. He's going to be, you know, coaching or just in some capacity with the league. I think it'll be a great notion as well, not to just, you know, have him up there on the stage, but to back it up as well. So we'll see how that story pans out. But all right, our surprises in yesterday's draft. Guys, I guess I'll start it off really quick. I was completely shocked and how far Gary Harris dropped. I think you guys were too. None of us had him going anywhere close to the 19th overall pick. Again, Chicago Bulls drafted him. They sent him to the Denver Nuggets in a trade. But I'm sitting there looking pick by pick by pick. I didn't think that Adrian Payne was going to be drafted before him. I saw Stauskas being drafted. I actually had Stauskas as my 10th overall pick. Nick Stauskas, of course, was drafted. He was a lottery pick last night. He was number 8 overall. It was just really weird, though, to sit up there, and I'm sitting there like, how many people are just going up there, you know, before Gary Harris? And I'm sitting there, you know, picking these players apart, saying, okay, that guy's not better than Gary. That guy I know is not better than Gary. I'm just sitting there. And I think that the Nuggets, you know, I think who it was, Bill Simmons last night or Jalen Rose, one of the two, said that Gary Harris was the steal of the draft with that pick. I mean, how shocked were you watching that, man?
I was shocked, especially, like you said, when you got into, like, the mid-teens.
Yeah.
The guys that were going ahead of him, it was just nuts.
Crazy.
I mean, Tyler Ennis, he's a fine player.
Right.
But if you're Phoenix, I mean, you have Eric Bledsoe and Goran Dragic, and you're going to take another point guard.
Right.
And I know, and the one thing that we have to think about here is that this is the beginning of the offseason, and a lot of these teams are going to change their roster makeup before the start of next season. So these aren't like set in stone
right.
to where the situations that these guys are going to. But that was kind of a head scratcher. I mean, I think people got scared away by the height thing, which is crazy because you saw for 2 years that the kid can play. He can absolutely play.
Right.
For him to fall that far, I think Denver is just grateful, ecstatic that they got him that low. I mean, for that value,
right.
he is the steal of the draft.
And, you know, that's what I was on Twitter. I tweet throughout the entire NBA draft each and every year, and I got into a discussion that you just brought up, Matt, with about Gary Harris's height and whether or not teams got scared away with Gary's height. And I got into a discussion with Matt Sheehan, who, of course, we had on the show. He's a sports writer for the State News here on the campus of Michigan State. And Matt and I were chatting about it. I was like, yeah, that's definitely a factor in this, I think. And also, I always go back, you know, when I would go on those rants late in December, you know what I mean, about Gary Harris kind of going ghost. And he, you know, that stretch he went through where he just couldn't. He couldn't hit water if he was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in a boat, you know? He just couldn't hit anything. And I think that stretch as well. He was a little inconsistent last year, and I think that also coupled with the fact that, you know, his height probably scared off a few teams. I think those two factors weighed in this whole thing with him dropping this low. And he's now got a chip on his shoulder, which is good for Gary, I think, now coming into the league. Because, you know, now, you know, you come in as, you know, raining praises from different journalists that you're going to be this lottery pick, and then you fall this low. This could be good for him, and it could be kind of a wake-up call to try to prove all those teams wrong who passed up on him. I like it, actually.
Absolutely. From his perspective, it might be the best thing that could have happened to
right.
him. I mean, you always hear about guys who are making people regret passing over. I mean, you heard
Julius Randle
at 7.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a Laker fan, that's got to make you feel glad that he's already that fired up.
Yep.
Going 7th. But for Gary, I mean, he's got 18 guys that went ahead of him.
Right.
He can use that as motivation.
18 reasons to work his butt off this season.
Exactly.
So I love that. So I didn't think, well, you know, I got to call this out. So I had Gary Harris 11th to the Denver Nuggets. Did you have that same one?
I did.
You did too. So we kind of called. I don't know if I didn't go back and look at our list and see who. I got the top three right with Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid. You guys thought that Embiid would fall, right?
That was a surprise. I didn't think that he'd get down to 3. I thought maybe 5-6 for him.
You had him 4, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah.
I had him about 6 or 7.
And you had him 6. I had him at number 3 with the Sixers. So I got those top 3 right. And, you know, really no shock there for me, though. Not a huge shock that they chose Embiid, because Embiid, if this injury proves not to be that serious, I mean, he can come in. I think they got a steal.
Yeah, and look, like we talked about, the last best Sixer big man was maybe Theo Ratliff decades ago. So for them to get another big man like this, he's got a very high ceiling. I can see them trying to reframe that past Theo Ratliff in a way.
It's
with the
right.
Sixers.
It's nuts for me. The biggest losers of this draft are 76ers season ticket holders.
Mm-hmm.
They were awful last year.
Terrible.
They are going to be awful this year.
You think
so? They had two top 10 picks, and neither of them are going to play this year.
Yeah.
Embiid's not going to see the floor.
Exactly.
Saric isn't coming until 2016.
Right.
It's like, what do you tell your fans?
Right.
Discount prices? I mean,
yeah,
that's the only way you're going
to
get people in there.
That's the only way, unless they make a big trade or, you know, something to bring some sort of name to that team.
It's brutal.
They're going to take a hit in the ticket sales right there.
Yeah.
So, and guys, did you think McGarry, I can't remember what we predicted on this one. I didn't think McGarry was going to go in the first round. I actually did. I had him 30th to the Spurs, so the last pick in the first round to the Spurs. But see, I was still shocked that he was drafted as high as he was. And, you know, I kind of want to equate this to a Keith Appling type of situation. You know, Mitch McGarry didn't play at all, really, last year. And he goes still in the first round, where a guy like Keith Appling, who showed shades of being the Big Ten player of the year when the season started, goes undrafted. I just see some quarrels wrong there. I don't know. I don't. And I think Mitch McGarry is totally, and I've said this before, totally overrated.
I do too, and I don't know why Oklahoma City would take him.
That puzzled me. They don't even need him.
They don't need him at all. They have Perkins.
Ibaka.
They have Ibaka. They just drafted Steven Adams, who played well. They have Nick Collison, who is basically Mitch McGarry.
Yep.
I mean, they're the same player.
Right, that is true.
I guess you want to go younger than Collison and kind of do that again, his heir apparent. But it just seems crazy. They could have gotten him at 29.
Right.
I mean, they had the 29th pick as well. You could have got him 8 picks later. Instead, you pick him 21st when I think everybody knows the Thunder need more scoring from their guards.
Yep.
Like, they need help on the wings.
Right. And there were so
Why
many.
Why would you take a big man? It's dumbfounding.
It puzzles you. And you know what? You know, for him to be drafted that high, there were so many better players on the board at that point other than Mitch McGarry.
Well,
it's
like Dante Exum. It's like the less people see of you,
right,
the more they think of you. It's
exactly.
Crazy.
Nuts, right?
And
I was watching the draft. He's already got commercials. I'm sitting there like, man, he's got commercials and endorsements already. The kid's 18. I didn't know he was that young. He's 18 years old.
He's never set foot in an American league. He's never played college basketball.
18 years old. 18. That's crazy to me, man. All right, and how about Nick Stauskas? No surprise there. I think Nick Stauskas, you know, I kind of agree with Jay Billis last night. He said to Stauskas, he thinks Stauskas is the best shooter in the draft. I may have to agree with him there. I wasn't surprised that he went before Harris. Now, frankly, wasn't surprised that he was a lottery pick. I had, you know, yesterday's show, I had him going 10 to the 76ers. So I think Stauskas has a bright future, though.
He definitely does. And the one thing that's weird for me is Sacramento itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a weird fit. They just drafted McLemore last year.
Yeah.
They have plenty of guys who can score the ball. It seemed like that's why yesterday we had Elfrid Payton going there.
Yeah, we had Elfrid Payton.
Because they need
a
defensive player. And if Nick Stauskas, you know, is anything, it's everything but a defensive player. That guy can't guard anybody.
Right, exactly. That's true.
It's just an odd fit. And another note, I think until Zach LaVine went to the Timberwolves, Stauskas was the least excited about the team that drafted him.
Yeah,
after
probably.
He had that interview with Jay Williams, and he, you know, as the interview ended, you could see him. He looked almost dead into the camera, and he just looked like he finally realized that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a Sacramento King.
right.
No way. I'm going to the NBA wasteland of Sacramento.
Yes.
That's a tough break. Maybe he can be the guy that revitalizes the franchise.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And you know what? It's pretty cool. There's another local tie there because Ray McCollum, of course,
exactly.
Player for UAD, is also there. So they now link up. Interesting, though. That's going to be really interesting to see how that pans. But yeah, I'll tell you what, the worst reaction, though. Now, I'm going to blame this on the world of television, though.
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid's reaction. But everybody thought it was his natural reaction to being selected. But, folks, it was a satellite delay. And he's sitting there like, okay, I'm watching. Maybe my name's going to be called. And they go to him after he gets drafted. And he hasn't known that he's been drafted yet. And he's sitting there and
Just stone-faced.
Oh, gosh. Twitter blew up. Instagram blew up with the memes. I mean, they were pretty hilarious. Pretty hilarious. And you know what? Elfrid Payton, he looks like a little baby. He's so young, dude. I'm sitting there in his interview. I'm like,
couldn't put his hat on. Yeah. His hair was too big.
His hair is crazy. Oh, my gosh, man. It was an entertaining draft, to say the least, last night. All right. Well, let's hit the second. Oh, yo,
hold on. One more thing.
Yeah.
Best dressed. Who you got?
Oh, man, you know what?
Adrian Payne.
Yes, Adrian Payne for me was the best dressed. He had the pink slacks on. He had the nice blazer on. The bow tie was great. It was a naturally tied bow tie. He honored Princess Lacey with the colors. I loved it. I got to go with Adrian Payne.
Yeah, I know it's a homer pick, but I got to go with him, too.
I do, too. He was fly. I may rock that next week. We don't have a Current Sports next week, but the week after next for Current Sports TV, may have to rock that look, man. That was impressive. So, all right, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our draft talk. And, hey, Reflection Friday is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. You know what, Matt? Something I also didn't get to, of course, was the Pistons. But before we get to the Pistons, I have, I called in finally to one of these. I always wanted to do this. Call into one of these teleconferences that Tom Izzo does during events like this. And I want to play a bite from Tom Izzo on Adrian Payne being selected by the Atlanta Hawks and what he thinks of it. Here was Tom Izzo last night after the draft via phone.
There's no question. I think that's one of the greatest things that will happen is with Steve Smith and Kevin Willis there and Jordan. I mean, Steve has been a great mentor to all these guys and one of the great guys, I think, in pro basketball, and he's got his head on right. I think he'll help Adrian a lot. But the rest of us will too, from East Lansing to San Francisco or Oakland, we'll all pitch in on that. And I watch AP grow every day, and it was fun to go through this with him because I think he was 10 times more mature than he was. Perfect example. We all say that he made the right decision. Greenwood said, hey, coach, pretty good decision for AP, wasn't it? I think there's no question that we don't know where he went last year because of, you never know what the draft brings. But I think at best he was a late first or second. He moved up to a top 15 pick. And a year when he was really injured, I think that's awesome. I think in Horford, even though he didn't go to Michigan State, from East Lansing or from, Grand Ledge, actually, and a great guy, and I think he'll help him a lot. So Horford's a student of the game, and I think will be very, very good for AP also. And the other thing I like is they don't have many guys like it, with that length that can shoot it. I think it's really the perfect spot for him.
So that was a head coach for Michigan State's men's basketball team via teleconference last night on Adrian Payne being drafted to the Atlanta Hawks. And the Detroit Pistons, they took Spencer Dinwiddie with their only pick in Thursday's NBA draft in the second round, the 38th pick overall. He's a guard from Colorado. Matt, I really like this kid. Watched his highlight tape before the show today. And, he's a kid who can take it to the hole. He's very, very confident out there on the court. He can shoot the ball. He's a pure point guard. I like him. I really, really like him. He's going to give Brandon Jennings and company a run for their money this upcoming season for that starting spot.
Absolutely. He's a steal. I mean, the only reason he's in the second round is because he tore his ACL.
Right.
And, in this day and age in sports, torn ACLs, they set you back a little bit, but it's not the devastating injury that it once was. So
he's
working
with
Wes
Payne. How about that?
I think he'll be 100%. I think he is going to be a great fit for the Pistons.
Yeah.
I mean, someone who can actually shoot the ball.
I know. Uh-oh. We need it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? Stan Van hit me up last night and said, Al, you want to join the roster? I saw your jump shot. I'm like, hey, Stan, I can't. I got Current Sports to do.
Right.
So I turned him down.
They're turning over every stone looking for shooters. No, I think he's going to be great. Last time the Pistons had a big point guard from Colorado,
yeah,
his name was Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey, yeah.
That worked out. So I think he's going to fit in great. I like that he can slash. I mean, he's got great moxie. He carried Colorado. I mean, Colorado for a couple decades was not good.
Yeah.
And he brought them to back-to-back NCAA tournaments.
He loves getting out on a break, too.
They were 14-2 before he tore his ACL last year. They were going to make noise last season. He was going to be a high pick. So I think this is a great value pick for the Pistons. And in a draft where we weren't excited in terms of, you know, that Pistons point of view, to get a kid like him at 38, two thumbs up to Stan Van.
I like it, too. It's going to be a great move, I think. And it's going to be interesting to see how that whole point guard competition pans out in, before the season starts next year. So we'll see. I thought it was a great pick, too. All right, Reflection Friday. Alex, do we got the music? He's like, no, we don't. We don't have the music. Anyway, I had some really nice, soothing Reflection Friday music. It's your birthday. I'll let you pass on that. It's your birthday. All right. But Reflection Friday for me, Matt, I got to mention definitely this because she's leaving us. She's leaving us this week.
Sad.
Emmanuel Berry. That's my Reflection Friday this Friday because Emmanuel has done an outstanding job. If you don't know who Emmanuel Berry is, she is the weekend current state host who's put in years here at WKAR. She will be taking her talents elsewhere. Do you know exactly where she's going?
St. Louis.
To St. Louis for a public station out there, right? And Emmanuel, we'll miss you. I actually took classes with Emmanuel while a student at MSU. She's a sweetheart and is a really, really hard worker. She's the sky's the limit for her. Just wanted to shout out Emmanuel.
No, she's great. Heck of a volleyball player.
Yeah.
She's very cool. We'll miss her a lot here.
We will.
For sure.
We'll miss her here at the
WKAR. As far as my reflection, I think I got to go with the Isaiah Austin thing. I know we talked about it, but I don't think you ever see things like that in sports, especially at drafts like that. I mean, it's such a serious event, and it is, you know, dreams coming true, and to have somebody who had their dreams dashed to give them at least a little piece of that was awesome to see.
Yeah, that's so true. Alex, what's your favorite moment of the week, man?
Having Martine on earlier in the week was great, and the fact that we could give so many parents and kids an opportunity to go to his camp on the show, that's great, man. And props to you, Al, for hooking that up. I mean, a lot of happy parents and a lot of happy campers out there.
Yeah, they were great. I gave them a call each individually yesterday after the show, and they were pretty excited that their son and daughter got the chance to participate in that. Also, I have to note, we have our first sponsor, guys. Current Sports Now has our very first sponsor. We're linking up with James Moore and his swap campaign, Speaking with a Purpose. James Moore, you know, talking to various kids and youth throughout the area, motivating on them to better their lives. He has a pretty cool football camp coming on, and Current Sports is linked up with him and will be helping him sponsor that event. So, yeah, we're making big moves around the community. How about that? Shout out to James. Looking forward to that. And definitely for my Reflection Friday, Charlie Bell as well. Charlie Bell was great sitting down talking to him. I had no idea he had that Charlie Do My Job show back when he played for the Milwaukee Bucks, where he goes out and he works at Wendy's and he went to a dairy farm and worked there. He worked as an interior designer. Pretty funny stuff. If you haven't seen it, YouTube Charlie Do My Job. He talked about it, you know, last night on Current Sports TV. It was fun time sitting down with him. And he said his favorite job was working at Wendy's flipping burgers and handing out fries.
Hey.
How about that? Interesting.
The smells have got to be great.
I think great. That's his favorite restaurant. That's my favorite. If I'm going to get fast food, Wendy's is where I go.
Easily the best fast food burger.
Easily, folks. All right. Well, we unfortunately are out of time. Thanks so much for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. We'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend. And, hey, be easy, people. Mm-hmm.